All right, 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So when you hear spiritual, your last week you said spiritual is an adjective. And by the time you found that Paul used that word spiritual as well, in Ephesians 6 and 12, and he used it for spiritual wickedness. So that means that this adjective, as straightforward as it sounds, will require a background study. I believe I've said this over and over again. And I do my best, according to the grace of God that is available to me, to endeavor not just to give you an information, but to also teach you how to teach. Every time you want to teach this chapter, you must give it a thorough background study. Because I said to us last week, and in Paul's Edification has said several teachings, that it's a corrective chapter. And because it's a corrective chapter, there will be a lot of gaps to fill if you don't give it the background. And that background, at least the four Gospels, then the book of Acts. If you have time, Old Testament. If you have time, before the foundation of the world. So, you do a contextual study of it. So, by the time we said that, when Paul was saying that you were Gentiles, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these lovers when by you were led, he's therefore making a distinction. And you discover that the intent of 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 is love, edify, minister in to edify, and so on and so forth. Therefore, he's making a distinction, salient and obvious, between ministering by the Spirit of Christ and doing things supernaturally, as they must have been used to. And so that's why he says you were carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. The word dumb idols shows that this is different from idols. It's the word aphonos, aphonos, where you find it in Acts 8:32, led the Lamb of God dumb, he uses. And you also find the dumb donkey, 2 Peter 2:16. But what it simply means is in 1 Corinthians 14:10, there is no voice or sound without, none of them is without signification. Without signification means that it is saying nothing. So he calls it dumb idols. That, why does he call them dumb idols? Now, don't forget that he simply is saying these dumb idols are saying nothing about Jesus. They are saying nothing about Christ. You were led by these dumb idols. So it makes a distinction between the Spirit of God in this manifestation and spirits generally. So these were, they are dumb idols, that is eidolon aphonos. They are not saying anything about Christ. It's not that they are not saying anything, because they could not have been led by an idol that wasn't saying anything. But whereby you were carried away by utterances, all right, visions, revelations that had nothing to say about Christ. So that's why the next verse says, no man speaking by the Spirit of God does not speak about Jesus. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? So Paul is giving to you a discernment. Does it? One of the things Brother Hagin taught us about discerning, judging prophecy, he will tell us that, Brother Hagin will say, does it glorify Jesus? So you must always find out, does this glorify Jesus? Does this, and when you say glorify Jesus, does it mean, does it not mention Jesus? When you say Jesus, Jesus is historical? The four Gospels, what does he present about God? And in the background of that is, know ye not the spirit that you are of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's life, but to all to save them. So, the saving work of Christ, which comes with the signs and wonders of it, the healing ministry, the restorative work of Christ, His forgiveness, you know, His stern warnings against covetousness and materialism. So, you can't find the Spirit of God, for example, you know, inspiring people to be materialistic, for example, that he says that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So that's a discernment of his own. So verse 7, let's get into the details now. But the manifestation of the Spirit. I want us to look at that phrase. Okay? Is the Spirit in the Old Testament? Yes. Promised. So let's look at the motions of the Spirit. The Spirit in the Old Testament, inspired. Inspired utterances. And in the utterances, promised that He will dwell in the men that believe. Is the inspiration and is also the blessing of the utterances. So Paul says, the manifestation. So that word manifestation can also connote the promise fulfilled of the Spirit in the Old Testament. So let's go to 4, and we'll come back to 7. So far, we have said that in the resurrection, Christ is known in and by the Spirit. So when you hear another comforter, again grammar, I'll pray the Father and He will give you another comforter, that He, the Father, may abide with you forever. So that means another comforter simply means the Father abiding in us. How is that going to happen? Even the Spirit of truth. So the Spirit of truth simply means the Father abiding in us in the resurrection, whom the world cannot receive, because he sees him not, neither knows him, for you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the allos paracletos is simply put the indwelling of the Spirit, or call it the Spirit fulfilled, the promise fulfilled by the indwelling of the Spirit. He says, I will not leave you comfortless, in case you got him wrong. I will come to you. Little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you live also, at that day. So, the Spirit is not taught different from Christ in the resurrection. We've done that the other week. Therefore, it suffices to say that when verse 4 now comes and says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. It looks tautological. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, the same God that worketh all in all. Now, of course, you discover that this already carries the intention of the translators. Why did they change it to administrations? Differences. Because the word difference is the same word diversity. You know, but hold on. The word here is diaresis. And then diaresis of the gifts, diaresis of the ministry, diaresis of the operation. The word diaresis is from a Greek word, diareo. D-I-A-I-R-E-O. D-I-A-I. R-E-O. It is used to separate a singular thing. I need your attention now. Where one singular thing is separated. Luke 15 verse 12. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living. So, you cannot use diaresis And the next thing you are going to talk about is in plural. It has to be singular. Diario. Another place we are going to find the word diario is in 1 Corinthians 12:11. All this worketh that one and self same spirit, dividing to every man severally. Severally, that means individually. One, dividing one thing. Dahario. Philippians 1:22. Dahario simply means to take in measures. Dia, separate. Aireo, H-A-I-R-E-O, to take or choose. Philippians 1:22. I choose. When I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Choosing amongst for himself. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Aireo. I'm saying the word aireo. H A I R E O. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Hebrews 11:25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. So, to choose amongst. To choose amongst is the word diario. So, diaresis will mean, when I say, there are diversities of gifts. It therefore becomes tautology. It should be diversities of the gifts. That is, these diversities are found in the gift. We said the other day that plurals are determined by interpretation. Many times, not all the time. And the word gift there is charisma. So, diversities of the gift, but the same spirit. So, the spirit is the gift. The diversity is found in the spirit. Then it says, diversities of ministry. The same Lord. Pay attention. Diversities of operation. The same God worketh all in all. Now go back to verse 3 and pick out those words. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Can you see it? No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So, verse 4 to verse 6 are synonymous of each other. The gift, the ministry, and the walking is Christ. Energema. What is walked, actually? A noun. So, by using the word same spirit, same Lord, there, the same spirit, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4, same at Lord, but the same God. The same spirit which is the same Lord and is the same God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. There's one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Same. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are just by the name of the Lord, and by the Spirit of our God. So, the gift is singular, the ministry is singular, and the way it is worked is singular. But in that singularity, we now have diversities. Now, some have said this, and it's just a school of thought. They said the gifts refer to tongues, prophecy, interpretation, and healing. Why? Because healing is mentioned as a gift. They said the administration there, the sign of spirit, working of miracles, word of knowledge, word of wisdom is administered to you. He said the oppressions is miracles and faith. It looks okay, but it's not very okay. So, the singularity of the gift is key. Because it says the manifestation is given. In verse 7. It's in that manifestation that we now have diaresis, portions of the manifestation. We have portions. So, portions of the giving, portions in the ministry, and portions of the singular thing. Why does he use sin? So the believer does not think outside the new birth. Same Lord. It's the same way the word promise is given plural format. Though somebody disagreed with me, and I think I get his point. He said he will read it as promises because it is said in many places. It's fine. I will say with promise. The same in the many places. We're not fighting. And of course, he's a scholar of over 60 years. So I have no cause to disagree with him. And he's yet to confess before the congregation. 2 Corinthians 1, Selah. As God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay, but the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and by Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and no, but him was yes. Was it on Sunday I made this joke about people saying that, does God say no when you pray? I said, no, God always says yes. For his promises are yes and nay. Is he the one praying? How can you say he cannot say no? Because his promises are not yes and amen. And not yes and no, but yes and amen. Did he say answer to prayer? He's talking about Jesus Christ, the promised one. In him is the yes. That is all God has been saying in the Old Testament. This is the man. So if he is the promise fulfilled, the word promises, therefore, which is the word all, there is a great promise of God, in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. The book of Acts presents that to us. Promise. Acts 13, verse 32. We declare unto you glad tidings. How the promise which was made unto the fathers, God had fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again. Written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Acts 1, verse 4. Wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. Of course, put that side by side. And of course, verse 5 now says, John truly baptized with water, shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days. So it's quoting John, it's referencing John. Luke 24:49, I send the promise of my Father upon you. The word promise is the word epagelia. It means to announce a message. Epagelia. To announce a commitment that will be done. So, God's promises are not personal. It's not someone said, the promise of God is not something he told you in your bedroom. It is a public declaration of what he will do. So when you are talking to the Father in prayer or praise, and you are referring to his promise, it's something we must read. It's a public pronouncement of what he will do. Luke 24:49. I send the promise of my Father upon you, I showed that earlier. Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What's the promise? Acts 2:17. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So the promise, therefore, is prophecy. What was prophesied that God will do. So we have the promise, and we also have the promise of the Father. Now, in the context of the book of Acts, you can call it the promise in the promise, which is in the resurrection, this is what you will see. We'll come to something about that. So, Acts 1:4, Acts 1:5, John the Baptist, Luke 24:49, I send, the word there is apostello, used similar to apostle. I send, you'll find that same word in Matthew 10:16-40, the way he sent them. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So when he says, my Father sent me, that's the indwelling of the Spirit. Even so send I you. John 20:21. I will come again to you, whom the Father will send in my name. It's just the same description. So the promise of my Father is still in Christ. Upon will now mean the resurrection in a visible way. The promise is within, so the promise upon is the resurrection in a visible way. We can call that the manifestation of the Spirit for the profiting of all. The resurrection, because if the promise is the resurrection, the promise of the Father, which is the promise of Joel 2:28, Acts 2:17, will be the promise in the promise, or the promise upon, or the resurrection in a visible way, or the manifestation of the Spirit. John had prophesied about the resurrection. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. So when he says he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with power, fire, is referring to the resurrection. So situate John's teaching in the resurrection. John 3:36. Eternal life abides in him, the wrath of God, he that does not believe. So John, just like every prophet, if John doesn't talk about the resurrection, he cannot be a prophet of the Old Testament. He also talks about the sufferings of Christ and then the glory. So when John says he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, John is talking in the resurrection. That means we will be identified with Jesus in the resurrection, in the ministry. We'll see that. So 2 Corinthians 1:18 to 22 again. So the promise is the resurrection of Christ. The promise upon is a visible evidence of that resurrection in the work of the ministry. Does it make sense? That's upon. 2 Corinthians 1 again. So when he said, I wait which you have heard of me, and he mentions the baptized. And when they ask for that, he says, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come upon. So the promise upon is the visibility of the resurrection. The visibility of the resurrection. If we have time, if we have time, we'll say, well, that again is when you hear the powers of the age to come. Some people have said it that way. I don't see it exactly like that, but I'll give you an idea. That is, the gifts of the Spirit, as we call them, are actually a foretaste of the glorified body. A foretaste of it. There was this argument I had with my friends in 1996. And somebody asked me one time, where are these your friends? You want to see them? Don't see them so soon. Take your time. And there was this song, Blessed Assurance Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Over a weekend, we're arguing. It's not foretaste, it's full taste. We can't call salvation a full taste, it's foretaste. And we're arguing with scriptures, with different Greek materials. So we now ended by saying, really, it's a foretaste. After arguing, so that's why I was laughing when I was saying it. That the gift, therefore, is a foretaste of it. Never a full taste. But leave that out. That's not part of our teaching. Before we start saying, foretaste, full taste, tasty time. Verse 20. For all the prophets of God and in here and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Earnest is the word there. Eraborn means to put a guarantee. A guarantee. That is something of value of something you are expecting. The same value or more. Then he uses the word sealed us. Stragizo, a proof. You find the same words interchanged by Paul in Ephesians 1:13. Sealed us with the Spirit. 14, earnest of our inheritance. Ephesians 1. So if there's going to be a resurrection from the dead, miracles, signs and wonders points to it. So they are not an end, but they, can we use the word allegory, they point to something else. Miracles. So what we call the that means the end product of what we call the gifts of the Spirit is the body being raised from the dead. So the gifts of healings, workings of miracles, utterances, revelation gifts, they all point to the resurrection of the body. They are a foretaste. I'm back there again. God help me for my foretaste. Immortality, therefore, is the end point. Alright, that's good. So, the singular promise, that is, everything including the glorifying of the physical body, are the work of the Spirit within, the promise. So, there are no more promises. There are. The glorifying of the body is a promise, but it's a promise in the fulfilled promise. The Spirit within is the guarantee. The era born has the same value more than that resurrection. The spirit within is a proof of it as well. So the signs of it in the gifts of the spirit are signs of that expected end. Are you learning something? So back to 1 Corinthians 12. So in the manifestation, we have diaresis. Look at the word manifestation. When Paul uses manifestation, which he does in 2 Corinthians 4:2, is manifestation phanerosis in the Greek. P-H-A-N-E-R-O-O-S or so. R-O-I-S. He uses manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What is this manifestation? Verse 6. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, the glorious gospel of Christ, the image of God. Chapter 3, you know, you can just read the background. The background is in Christ is in view and the gospel. So manifestation is the disclosure, the visibility of Christ the promise among humanity. It's from the Greek word phaneru, P-H-A-N-E-R-R-O, to make clear and make visible. Make clear and make visible. Let's see how phaneru is used. Romans 1:19, which may be known of God, is manifest in them. Romans 3:21, being witnessed by the law and the prophet, the righteousness of God. Romans 16:26, again, the gospel. Romans 16:26, made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. So, the Old Testament is in view here. 1 Corinthians 4:5, in the book of Corinthians that we just read. Therefore, judge nothing before the time of the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Counsels of the heart. 2 Corinthians 2:14, make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. 2 Corinthians 3:3, manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:10, the life of Jesus was made manifest in our body. 2 Corinthians 4:11, Jesus was made manifest in our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:10, which must all appear before the judgment of Christ. 5:11, we are made manifest unto God. So manifestation has to do with Jesus, the promise of God in the Old Testament being made visible. So the visibility of what was promised is that manifestation. So we'll go back to what we taught the other time about the body. I want you to listen very carefully because we're going to transition shortly. So the manifestation of the Spirit is Christ being visible. And it's in the indwelling of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit. We can call it the manifestation of Christ as or in the Spirit. You will not be incorrect. And so, we began to look at, for example, we've seen John's Gospel. Destroy this temple, John 2:19, after 3 days I raised it again. And then he began to ask him, what is he talking about? It was when he was raised from the dead that his disciples knew he was talking about his body, then they believed the scriptures. In John 6 again, when he spoke about, if you eat of my flesh, you will not die. If you drink of my blood, you will not die. John 4, rivers of living water, the well of water springs of everlasting life, John 4:14, John 4:10, will give unto you living water, is pointing to the resurrection. Now, let's now think a little bit more. When he says, this spake he of his body. Now, on the first count, you think, oh, he's talking about just his body raised from the dead. Correct. But there's much more. Because he was discussing temple, which is the Greek word naios, the dwelling of God, we can therefore think further and say he's talking about himself in the resurrection. The allos parakletos. Raise it again, where God will dwell in man. Just like his bread is in eternal life, his blood is in eternal life. So the body of Christ will be mirrored by his physical body resurrection. But the body of Christ is in the spirit. And therefore in that body, we'll have believers found in it. Believers. So we can say his body is the visibility of his resurrection. The visibility. The making obvious of his resurrection, or the proof of his resurrection. Now, to the 12 guys that he was physically raised, they touched his bone and his flesh. In the resurrection, in reality, spiritual reality, his bone and his flesh, flesh and bone as you see me have, is his spirit. So, if we have his flesh and bone today, his flesh and body refers to his spirit. So, at the Passover, when he says, this is my body, broken for you. Broken means to share. I'm sharing it with you. This is my blood, shed for the remission of sins for many. Then he now calls it the new wine. Something you are going to partake of. Paul now uses that to a Gentile community. And says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you show the Lord's death till he comes. The Lord's death, therefore, will be his sacrifice, his giving. So he uses that ceremony, okay, the explanation of it, which is the Spirit given to us as the reason why you must share. So, it therefore is Paul using, call it an imagery, call it the book of the four Gospels, to teach walking in the Spirit or walking in love. Because the Spirit must reflect Jesus. So, if I take, pay attention, if somebody needs 5 naira or 500 naira and I have 2,000 naira, when I take the 500 naira and I'm giving him that 500 naira, I am showing the Lord's death. I am walking in the Spirit. When I refuse to do it, I am eating damnation to myself, which means I am walking in the flesh and I will be joined together with the world. Does it make sense? So we partake of his body and we partake of his blood means that we are sharers of his spirit. Romans 8 As many as are led by the Spirit. See how he says it. You are led from the flesh to the Spirit. You are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, euthesia, means that we are seen as the son. We are in the place of the son. So the indwelling of the spirit means we partake of the son. You know, technically, he is the son. He is the son. We are sons in him. I warned you on Sunday also that one of the things I learned over the years in teaching what is usually called the new creation realities is that if it is taught outside of Christ's work, his finished work, observe me very well. I don't use finished works. Of his finished work, when it is not taught like that, it is almost like what you can call Christian Science. New Age. I am that I am. That's my mom. When we're young guy, when I now, of course, when we started knowing what, say, as he is, so are we. So when she now asked that question, I said, I am. Because when I show up, the I am, I showed up. You are in him. Okay? There is a him and it's not you. So, always make sure that that clarity is made. That's why most of those who learned confession from Kenneth Hagin did not know that Brother Hagin usually had a very strong emphasis on redemption truths. What Christ has done. But because they are not bothered about that background, just tell me what to say. What do I say? Say! When he died and did and later, I'm not interested. Just what do I say? When there's a problem, what do I say? Just say. Say. You know? So, this is very vital. That he's the son. So, we are partakers of his body. We are found in his body. And when you use his body therefore becomes, again, a language of himself. In the resurrection, he is the Allos Parakletos. The Father is in him, and we are in him as well. So that is one body. So when you read John 14:20, I am in my Father, you are in me, I am in you. That's one body. Are you learning something? Became a partaker. So the moment you don't share with a brother, you are acting like the wall, like you are not in that body. So let us judge ourselves so that we are not judged with the world. Because if I don't judge myself as in the body and I act like that, I will be seen as what? The world. Does it make sense? Alright. That's why when you look at the phrase body, for example, body. In Ephesians 5:30, we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bone. You know that he's not saying that when you look at the bone, you see no. It's to show that we are one spirit with him. One spirit. If God is a spirit, I say whatever God has joined together, do not put asunder. Whatever God joins with himself, that means he's talking about a spiritual reality. So look at the way body is used generally by Paul, so that this will make more sense to you. Romans 6:6. Our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth we should not serve sin. So the body of sin cannot be your physical body. Might be destroyed, because your body was not destroyed. Yet in verse 12, it says, sin shall not reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Sin shall not reign in your mortal body. That is your physical body. Sin, the body of sin, should not reign in your physical body. So one of them is spiritual, the other one is physical. Romans 7:4. You have become dead to the law by the body of Christ. That you should be married to another, to him which is raised from the dead, that you should bring forth fruit unto God. So the body of Christ is the resurrection. Are you learning something here? Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this the body of this death? That's the body of sin. Romans 8:10. The body is dead to sin. The body of sin. The spirit is life because of righteousness. Romans 8:11. Mortal body, physical body in the resurrection. Romans 8:13. The deeds of the body of sin. Wherever you find action used, that is not the physical body. Is that very clear? Is that clear? Praxis, actions of the body. Romans 8:23. Redemption of our bodies, physical bodies. So Romans 12:1. Let me see whether you are with me. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Is that your physical body? Okay. So what is it? What is it? Yourselves or who you are in Christ? I'm here now. Which body? Is it your physical body? You are not following, you know. Holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. So serve with your body, the body of Christ. Serve with your body. Or your person there. Your entire person, which is only acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, look at verse 4. We are members, as we have members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So many are one body in Christ, every one members one of another. We're coming to this later. The body is Christ here. So the union we have in Christ is called the body of Christ. The union, what we are partaking in Christ, which is the Spirit, is called the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. And verse 13. Meat for the belly. Belly for meat. But God shall destroy both with it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. That's the physical body. Yet in 16, what? Know ye not that that which is joined to an allot is one body? For two seers shall be one flesh. So using body differently. But he that is joined to the Lord is what? So one body used for Christ is what? Does it make sense now? One spirit. That's why he says in verse 15, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an allot? That's instruments of Christ. So this physical body is an instrument of the body of Christ. That is the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 7:4. The woman has no power over her body, that's physical body. 7:34. She may be holy both in body and spirit. Body and spirit, that's physical. Marriage. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I put my body under myself. I bring it into subjection. In that instance, he's talking about his person, his desires. Lest by any means I preach unto others and become a castaway. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So can you see that he uses bread and spirit interchangeably? Are you following what I'm saying here? So the blood here cannot be drinking communion wine. It's basically talking about fellowship among believers. So 1 Corinthians 11, therefore, 24, 27, and 29, where you use body there, creates an imagery for you that when you come to church, we are already one body. We are one spirit. So we act it out in believers' assemblies when we give. Showing the Lord's death till he comes. What is in the Lord's death? We are one body. We are one bread. Are you there? So whenever we share, what are we showing? We are demonstrating that spirit. We are walking in the spirit till he comes. First Corinthians 12:12. So body is used for a single unit or something. So the body of Christ is a singular unit of his resurrection, the spirit. So when I say present your body, present your whole being, yourself. I put my body on that same thing. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one, and have many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Physical body now. Verse 13. For by one spirit are we baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, have all been made into drink into one spirit. So is that one body the same as one spirit? Yes. 1 Corinthians 13. We're going through the term body. So we're ready. 13:3. Though I bestow all my goods to feed, the word poor there is so misleading. And though I give my body to be burned, that's boasting about myself. We have all that explained in charismatic ministry. And I have not love, it profits me nothing. 1 Corinthians 15:35. Physical body there. With the body do they come? 15:37, the body. 15:38, physical body. 15:44, is raised a spiritual body, even though it's still a natural body. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body, the physical body in view. So you can see, body refers to a singular unit. It can be spiritual, and it can also be what? Natural. Ephesians 1. I'm purposely looking at Corinthians and Ephesians. We'll come back there. Ephesians 1. Ephesus. Verse 13. Verse 23, I mean. Which is his body? The fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church, which is his body? You know, so when you say body, it's a singular unit, right? The fullness of him. Pleroma in the Greek, which means everything about him is that body. So you can see that when he says, gave all things to his body, the church, he uses that phrase in a singular way. His body, the church. So, the writer here, Paul, wants you to see the church first of all as a post-resurrection reality. One body, one person. And that is the fullness of him that filled all in all. That is still Jesus singularly. And then you have he quickened. So we are in the body by sharing. Are you getting this? Identification. The body is a singular unit, a singular person. Or say the Holy Ghost. Or say the Spirit. Lest you come tomorrow and say you are now the Allos Paracletus. I won't just knock you. I will cut you off. The body. Singular unit. The Spirit. The fullness. And you have he quickened. By identification. Ephesians 2:16. That I might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. I've been slain the enmity thereby. Look at what he calls one body. Came and preached unto you, which were far off, to them that are near. Let's take 18 together. Through him we both have access by what? One spirit. Can you say one body is again what? One spirit. Ephesians 3, 16. Sorry, 3, 6. Now the Gentiles should be partakers, fellow heirs of the same body of his promise by in Christ by the Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit. His Spirit is his body. Ephesians 4, 12. Where we are coming back to. For the edifying of the body of Christ. If the body is the Spirit. And then we are not edifying it. The fullness of him. This needs some study. Verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compounded by which every joint supplies. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Making increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Okay, we'll be back here. Ephesians 5:23, in case you missed him. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the savior of the body. One singular entity. Then he says in verse 30, for you are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. Which is one spirit. So that means this phrase is the reality of his resurrection. We now partake of him. It is now called the body. So it is spiritual reality. Colossians 1. This is the reality of the resurrection. Colossians 1:15. I want us to read this one together. Are you there? Let's go. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. Verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might be half one. So body of Christ is post-resurrection fact. And it's quite unique to the Pauline revelation. Very unique. It's a Pauline phraseology. Now this is the point. Look up now. You must therefore separate this from the gathering. The gathering of men in Christ is called the body. Christ in the resurrection is called the body. This is separate from us now gathering together. Separate this from the ecclesia when we gather. We gather first in salvation in one spirit. We are gathered as one spirit. We now have physical gatherings. Physical gatherings mirror a gathering already. We are already gathered in the spirit as one body. Look at Matthew 16:17. But now Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed unto you my Father which is in heaven. I say unto you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. He uses a personal pronoun. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, the first thing he says is his own resurrection. My church in the resurrection. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when that happens, that becomes the gospel he was revealing to us. When we believe, I will give unto you the keys of this kingdom. What is the kingdom? When the gates of hell don't prevail, when it's raised from the dead, and whatever you bind on earth shall bind in heaven. So that means that church is heaven and earth. Are you there? Aha. Uh-huh. Whatever you bind on earth, bind in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth, already lose in heaven. So the church, the body, is that singular identity of Christ in the resurrection. Hebrews 2. And verse 11. Both he that sanctified. In fact, let's start from 8. If I let's start from 6. What is man that you are mindful of him, singular? Nor the son of man even so that you visit him. Thou made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowns him with glory and honor, and this set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, singular person. For in that he put all things under his feet, with 11 that is not put under him. Now we see not yet things put under him. But we see Jesus, a play of words. He says, who was made little lower than that? That is the fulfillment of it, that he by the grace of God should teach therefore every man. He became him for whom are all things, and by him are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Identification. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. Can you see that word? Of one. Adelphos, brethren. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. So, this is not yet talking about our gathering like this. This is the gathering in the resurrection. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, Adelphos again, in the midst of the ecclesia will I sing praise unto you. I'll put my trust in him. Behold, I and the children, Isaiah 8:18, which the Lord has given me. This is in the resurrection. So he says, Jesus, first of all, in verse 14, took part of flesh and blood. He took part of it so that in his resurrection, our identification will be very clear to us. Now they saw to him that power of death, that is the devil, and I might delight them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So he becomes, for us in the resurrection, what he mirrored in the incarnation. God became a man so that in the resurrection, man will be found in God in one body. So the ecclesia is first one before we have gatherings. One body. So, can we say the ecclesia is the spirit that we all share? Huh? You know, let's just stretch this a little bit, but just for understanding. Can we say the ecclesia is the spirit in our midst? Huh? Uh-huh. So, the ecclesia is the spirit that we all share. So, before we come for a meeting, we have gathered already. We are gathered as one body. So, when we come into a service, the body came to the service. Is that very clear? Is that clear? Uh-huh. Look at Hebrews 12. I have no doubt that the writer of Hebrews is a Pauline disciple. Hebrews 12, verse 22. You are come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly. Now, it says, the word assembly here is the word panegyris, P-A-N-E-G-U-R-I-S. It means festival. So when you read the book of, he also using an imagery of festivities, people coming together and celebrating the same thing. So whenever you read feasts of the Lamb and his bride in the book of Revelation, you are not watching a movie. You are watching someone using figures of speech to describe our union with God, heaven and earth, that heavenly city. So in case you are looking for gold and silver, like you should, riches. Earthly riches. If I'm poor here, I'll be rich there. You are not just covetous. You are lustfully covetous. A man had a vision. He came to go to heaven. And when he got to the heavenlies, he said he saw a mountain. And God says, choose whatever estate you want to live. Then I asked someone, I said, who is he going to live there with? You're leaving. You have a big house. Gold, silver, all over the place. You know, have you thought of living alone? Gold, silver, everything, just you. You alone. Mansion,
60-story building.
You will still die there. Border will kill you. You will see the gold and you hate it. Because much of what we like about material things is how people see it. Left to you, you won't value it. Alone, just you alone. Nobody is looking at you. Then you buy Rolls Royce. You build a house. You alone in the world. And you have Rolls Royce, you have all the gold. You know you want to die. But when you have somebody by the roadside who uses bike, you want to drive there. But when you are the only person that is seeing it. So, now think about that view you have about heaven. You have, guys, he saw all sorts of gold that they even gave him a bike to ride. You see me like a man of him. You'll be the halabim. Anyway, so the book of Revelation again is a vision. It's imagery, pictures of something. That's why it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not 666. So the panegyris here means that it's a company of joyfulness. A finished work. Then he calls it the church of the firstborn. Ecclesia of the prototokon. Church of the firstborn. That means we are gathered in the firstborn. The church of the firstborn. So, in the resurrection, the body is complete. It's the finished work of God. So, let me ask you. Do you add to the body? Huh? No. You are baptized into the body. You are not added. The body is the fullness of Him. You partake of the body. The body is not partaking of you. You are the one that partakes of the body. So, please, look up. Let's now say something. So, the body is full. Right? The ecclesia is one. Then we now have gathering. If you miss this one, you miss everything I'm about to say. So, the body is Christ Jesus, the Allos Parakletos, the Spirit, where upon the resurrection, we now partake in it. Is that very clear? Good. So, go to Ephesians 4. Verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Let me read it for you out of context. Jesus rose from the dead. Then he is now throwing out apostle. Egwadie, take some. Prophet, take some. Evangelist, pastor and teacher. This is Christ. So who is he giving it to? The body of Christ. Okay? So where is he? He's here. The body is there. No. He's not the body of Christ. He's the world. Excellent. So, he stays outside, then is donating to the world. No. It is often read that way because it is read out of context. But let's go to the end and we come to the beginning. For the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting of the saints is not an ongoing work. It is the word katatismos. Paul uses another grammar here, how you assemble something for it to function. He's saying to you, this body of Christ, which he has described in 11 as apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, is assembled, katatismos, for the things, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Separate it now. He uses the word, the Greek word here, perfecting of the saints, proston katatismos ton agion. Agion refers to sanctified ones. That is, this is in view. That is, the reason for this four or five is that he fits into one body, or call it one spirit. So Ephesians 4:11 will be diaresis, correct? Is that correct? You're not following this? Diaresis. That is, if we look in the body, this is what we are going to see. Can we say, if we look in the spirit? Okay, you are going to see this. So, they are already there, fitted to make the body fit to function. It is fitted together as one body to function. For the perfecting of the saints, the word for the work, it doesn't use pros, is heis. In the work or about the work of the ministry. Eis, E-I-S, egon diakonias. Take note of the word diakonia, ministry. E-R-G-O-N, egon diakonias. Then it uses eis oikodomen tos. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, eis oikodomen, tos, that's T-O-U, somatos Christos. Now, the body of Christ so far, somatos, S-O-M-A-T-O-S, Christos, Christ, the body of Christ we have said so far is what? In the resurrection. Singular. So when you say, for the edifying, now, do you keep strengthening the resurrection? No. So, we are going to find out what he was talking about. The word edifying there, oikodomen, can be used both as a noun and a verb. Edifying can be for the edifice called the body of Christ, or for the building up. Now, the resurrection already shows you the body of Christ is an edifice, not an ongoing work. Let me see if you understand that. So it's an edifice in itself, not something being done. Let's look at that word oikodome. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E. In Matthew 24 verse 1, it's used for a building. And Mark 13, 1 and 2, a building. A building. After it had been built. In Romans 14, verse 19, that we may edify one another, building ourselves. Romans 15, verse 2. To edification. 1 Corinthians 3:9. You are God's building. God's oikodomio. Edifice. That can be your God's edification. That's who you are, God's building. So, it can be used as a noun or work done. 1 Corinthians 14:3. Prophecy is for edification. Edify the church. Verse 12, edify. Verse 26, edify. 2 Corinthians 5:1, a singular building. We have a building of God. 2 Corinthians 10:8, for edification, work to be done. 2 Corinthians 12:19. 12:19, for your edifying. 2 Corinthians 13:10, to edification. Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. Now is that is the process, then what is done. So the church therefore becomes the edifice, what is built. Today, because Christ has been raised from the dead, he is not building his church. We now have the building called the church. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Okay. So, it's either you have edify as a work to be done or as work done. Let me see how you are following this. So, let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 2. That same word. Verse 20. You are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. Is that an ongoing work or a done work? Verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together. Put Ephesians 4:16 in view. Fitly framed together grows to an holy temple in the Lord. In whom also you are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Is that an ongoing work or an edifice? Huh? Very good. So chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together, compared by which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in every part of it, making increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. That is, this building was built in love. It's not an ongoing work. What he's saying basically here is showing you the process, how you came about this edifice. Is that clear? So, if you look into that edifice, what is already built, you will see apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor. Those are the parts of that building. Or can we say the measures of the one spirit? Is that correct? Or the measures of one gift. So in the resurrection, Christ in the resurrection, please look up. Is Christ in the resurrection? Let me have four people. Four. Come now. Come like that. You'll be... Sit down. Come. Let's. He said in love. So let's put you inside. You come too. So, this... Let's do fivefold. For those of you, so you don't get confused. Fivefold. They used to tell us that the apostle... I've forgotten it again. This is... Okay, this is the apostle, because it takes care of everything. This is the prophet. It points the direction. This is the evangelist. It reaches the world, the longest finger. That's if your finger doesn't have problems. This is the pastor, because it's where you put wedding. And this is the teacher. It gets into the air. I'm giving you insight. You are laughing. Exegesis. Come on, please. So which one is the longest here? So, now, this will be, alright, Christ in his resurrection. When you look into that building, you will now see apostle, whatever, prophet, evangelist, pastoring teacher, or pastor and teacher. So this is Christ. This is the body of Christ. I'm Christ, right? That's cool. That's a very, let me feel that way at this moment. So this is the this is the body of Christ. Is that clear? So it's the body of Christ in ministry that is this four. Go and sit down, please. Does it make sense to you? So it is not he gave to the body. Mm-mm. This is the constituent. This is how the body was built. In now, the building, is it ongoing or in the resurrection? That's why the background was he that descended. I said the first of all descended to lower parts of the earth, and he now ascended, then gave. He gave himself. So it is the giving that is called the body of Christ. So, let's get back to Ephesians 4:12. For the perfecting, katatismos, means when you equip, is a noun. The body is fully equipped. That is, there is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Which is, the fullness is in the resurrection. In that fullness, we now have degrees of it. Degrees of it is the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Oftentimes when you see words like that, you revert to their verbs. Let's look at their verbs. The verb is katatizo. Katatizo. K-A-R-T-A-T-I-Z-O. Katatizo means to mend or prepare. It's used for preparation. Matthew 4:21, Matthew 21:16, Luke 6:40, Mark 1:19, Romans 9:22, 1 Corinthians 1:10, and 2 Corinthians 13:11. I'll take it again. Matthew 4:21, the verb, preparation. Matthew 21:16, Mark 1:19, Luke 6:40, Romans 9:22, prepared vessel. 1 Corinthians 1:10, 2 Corinthians 13:11. Now, Galatians 6:1, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. 1 Thessalonians 3. And 6. Sorry, I got added. 3. No, don't add that. Hebrews 10:5. Hebrews 10:5. A body thou art prepared me. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the walls were framed. Hebrews 13:1. Sorry, 13:21 for that. Make you perfect in every good work. That is, prepare you, fit you proper for every good work. 1 Peter 5:10, same word. So it's used for what is done. What is done, fitted for. So when somebody is well fitted, you say that is the katatismos. The process of putting it together is katatizo. So the resurrection is that perfecting. Is that clear? So, can we say it like this? The apostle is Christ. The prophet is in Christ, right? Right? The evangelist? Christ in the resurrection, right? Aha. So, it is now for the saints. So, that resurrection is for who? The saints. So we are partaking of Christ, what we call the ministry gifts. We are partaking of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4. So, in view of, that is, when he rose from the dead, he rose in the measure of an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, for the proper fitting together, for functioning, for the saints, for the work of the ministry, in, the word for there is in, alright, because the Greek word there is eis to, and that is egon diakonia, for the work of the ministry, for the body of Christ, for the building of all, pull at least, for the edifice of the body of Christ. Does it make sense? So, Ephesians 4:11 is how the body was built. Is that very clear? What is in the built body? And the reason for it is the work of the ministry in this edifice of the body of Christ. Does it make sense? So, in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness that is in Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So maturity is in view. Babes. Then it says, that speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly framed together. Present continuous or past tense. And compacted that by which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body to this edifying of every love. So this is describing the resurrection to you. In the resurrection, this is the capacity of the resurrection in the work of the ministry. So the apostle is a resurrection capacity. The prophet, the evangelist, and pastor, ring teacher, which we are going to look at again. So we come back to 1 Corinthians 12:27, which is the next one we're going to see. But now, there's a theory that is a bit very interesting. And that theory, just have it at the back of your mind, you know. For example, in Ephesians 4:11, when it says he gave some, the Greek is actually, he certainly gave. That's the proper Greek. Then he doesn't use, the word some there is certainty. He certainly gave in his resurrection apostles. Now, notice that he had given you a background in verse 7 or verse 4. One body, one spirit. You are calling to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Everything is about Jesus. One God, one Father. Then he says in verse 7, he now calls everything that he has described, he calls it the gift of Christ. So, in the faith, the gift of Christ. The one baptism, the gift of Christ. The Father, who's got the gift of Christ. The Spirit, the hope, the calling, the gift of Christ. Then he says, however, in that gift of Christ, there's grace according to measures. So, the gifts, he gave gifts to men there, in verse 8, ought to have been singular. He gave gifts as men. That is, the body is a gift to us. Because we are called into it. Verse 10 says that he might fill all things. So the four or the five that we're going to read is the fullness of it. That is, everything together is this four. When you look at their measures, you separate them. So the manifestation of the Spirit is that gift of Christ in the resurrection. So we want to look at what then is the difference in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. So I said a theory. A theory says apostle, prophet, evangelist. Then he says pastor and teacher is for the perfecting of the saints. It's a very funny theory. That those are the ones that perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. The other three is just going to the world. An interesting dimension. Some will say, well, that when Paul says, no, there was even a friend of mine that said it. The way we finished him, he said it in one meeting, PSSF Ibadan then, in 1995. He taught it 94, I think. He said the bishop is apt to teach. Well, funny enough, I now have a sense, I saw a sense in what he was saying. That the bishop is apt to teach. The word apt is three words: apostle, prophet, and teacher. I was like, oh, till we go back to the room and we hacked his soul. We'll finish you. It's not, there's no sermon we hear in those days. We'll sit back and hours would scrutinize the details. You know, we didn't used to get carried away by jokes. You'll be frowning. What, man, what? All these illustrations, what? Scriptures. Extreme boys. Anyway, so the manifestation of the Spirit can be called the body of Christ, right? Right? Alright, good. So, that means if you look into the Spirit, what you will find is apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, right? If you look into the body, that's what you are going to find. So, that means Paul's imagery of the body is for you to see a singular unit with different functions. That's the essence of that imagery. A singular unit with other people identified in it. That's the essence of it. Amen. Hallelujah. So, do you understand Ephesians 4:11 and 12? So it's not like he gave apostle to you. He gave prophet to this person. No. Is that clear? That is the gift of God in the resurrection. The body of Christ in the resurrection. So, when we partook of Christ, we partook of His Spirit. And His Spirit is His body that has apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Is that clear? I'll see you in 10 minutes.